Charlotte and Helen could not help their reaction. They were jubilant. Helen stretched out a grateful hand to Grossman as he turned to them with an irrepressible grin. "I am very glad for Mrs. Donahue," Helen breathed. "It is a just decision." Marvel awarded Catherine her past medical expenses, back salary for the entire period she had not been able to find employment due to her condition, damages, and an annual life pension of $277 for the remainder of her life. It came to a total of some $5,661 and was the maximum possible award the judge could deliver under the provisions of the law. One suspects that he wished he could have gone further. Marvel was reported to have said, after Catherine's claps in the courthouse, "It would seem to me from what has been disclosed here that there could have been a common law action against these people. There is, and has been, a gross negligence on the part of the Radium Dial Company." The company officials were guilty. Guilty of causing Catherine's disablement, and Charlotte's too. But not just that alone. They were guilty of killing Peg Looney, Ella Cruz, Inez Valla, and so many more. Those women's lives could not be saved, but their murderers were now unveiled in the cold light of day. "The whole creation of God," Grossman had written in his legal brief, "has neither nook nor corner where the Radium Dial Company can hide the secret of its guilt in this case and escape." The light of justice now flooded in, leaving the callous killers exposed for what they were. There was no full-page advert to hide behind here, no jolly superintendent smoothing down the girl's furrowed brows, no hidden test results that kept the truth concealed. The truth, after all these years, was finally out. "Justice has triumphed," declared Grossman exultantly at the hearing. "No other decision is possible under the overwhelming weight of evidence. A just award follows the rule of conscience. Thank God for justice to the living dead." Charlotte Purcell simply said, thankfully, "This is the first ray of hope we have had after years of discouragement." It had been a long, long battle. In many ways, it was a battle that had begun on 5th of February 1925, when Marguerite Carlo had first filed suit in New Jersey, the very first dial painter ever to fight back. Catherine's triumph in court, 13 years later, was one of the first cases in which an employer was made responsible for the health of its employees. What the girls had achieved was astonishing. A groundbreaking, law-changing and life-saving accomplishment. The Attorney General's office, which had followed the case closely, heralded the verdict as a great victory. It was the Ottawa Daily Times which claimed to break the news to Catherine Donahue. As the verdict came down the wire, a reporter raced to 520 East Superior Street to talk to the woman at the centre of it all. He found her alone. Tom had taken the children for a walk. She was, as she had no choice but to be, lying in bed in the front room, her silver-banded watch still hanging loosely on her wrist. As the reporter excitedly told her that a verdict had been given 5 days early, Catherine blinked in surprise. "I never dreamed of the decision this soon," she croaked with great effort.